Isaiah 54 and 17. We're not going to read all of Isaiah 54, but this entire chapter is a prophetic word to the New Testament church. And Isaiah's prophesying about God's church, God's people being blessed and victorious and abounding. And he wraps it up. He wraps up this chapter by giving this promise to the New Testament church by saying, no weapon. Everybody say, no weapon. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah said, no weapon. No weapon that is formed. Amen. That is built and strategically placed against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why don't you turn to somebody and tell them that's an Old Testament prophecy to you. Come on, tell somebody. It's an Old Testament prophecy to you and to your children. Hallelujah. To every one of us. Praise God. Let's clap our hands one more time. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, we're in the church of the living God. Oh, this church is victorious. This church has victory. This church has promises. Oh God, thank you for the church. Why don't somebody shout, thank God for the church. And God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Isaiah, his name, the meaning or definition of his name is salvation of Jehovah. Salvation of Jehovah. Isaiah is generally regarded as one of the greatest or the greatest Old Testament prophet because he was the prophet of redemption. Amen. And the prophet of redemption. Isaiah prophesied about the New Testament more than any other prophet did. Isaiah prophesied about the church that we're a part of tonight more than any other prophet. Isaiah prophesied about salvation, redemption, more than any other prophet. It was Isaiah that many times prophesied and talked about the oneness of God. Isaiah 9 and 6, most of us could quote that. For unto you this day is, you know, I'm getting, man, I've been stirred up today, getting all kind of one God scriptures mixed up. Hallelujah. Unto us a son is born. Is that right? A child is born, a son is given. I got 50 scriptures messing with me today. Anyway, talking about the coming Messiah, God manifest in the flesh. Isaiah was the one that said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. The mighty God, not the second in a trinity, but the mighty God, and not just the Son of the Father, but the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied about the oneness and the Messiah. He said that he would be a root out of a dry ground. Hallelujah. That the Holy One on high would overshadow a virgin. And there would be a man, a manifestation of this Jehovah God. Isaiah steps out on the limb and says there's one that's going to come and his name will be called Emmanuel. Isaiah was the one that said this. He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no eternal Son. There is no Son from the beginning of the world. Hallelujah. There is no Savior beside our God. But God said, I will come and save you. Isaiah prophesied about Calvary. Isaiah 53 and very, very special scriptures to us, God's people. And the scriptures concerning the suffering of our Savior on Calvary. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. How many loves Isaiah chapter 53? Thank God. Isaiah prophesied of the New Testament church and the redemption through the blood of Jesus. It was Isaiah that said this, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, God is going to speak to His people, saying, this is the rest." I'm telling you, this is the rest here tonight. Woo! I'm telling you, praising God and worshiping God, it'll give you more rest than some special memory foam mattress or what do they call that? Comfort, whatever they call that stuff. Hallelujah. You can try everything this world has to make you get rested up and feel better, but there's nothing that compares, hallelujah, to the Holy Ghost of God. There's nothing that compares when the saints worship, when the saints praise. Hallelujah. This is the rest wherewith the weary may find rest. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I could get sidetracked here. Amen. But I believe that God blesses the worshipers in the sanctuary. And somehow, even though, man, they dance and shout and their feet are tired and their legs are tired, I believe when they sleep through the night, amen, the worshipers wake up on Monday feeling better and more rested up than the people that didn't go to church. Come on, the worshipers wake up on Monday feeling good, feeling strong, feeling stronger, amen, than the ones that sat back on a pew and didn't worship. Come on, somebody, this is the rest. Oh, I like to rest. I like to come into the house of God and find rest. Oh, you can be seated. Hallelujah. With stammering lips and another tongue, God's going to speak to His people, saying, this is the rest. Isaiah was the one that prophesied and said, with joy, amen, God's people are going to draw water from the wells of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. This salvation, this promise of the Holy Ghost, this salvation, it's going to be like drinking water from a well. Oh, anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's drawing water from a well. Hallelujah. Isaiah, man, when I think of Isaiah, I think of a preacher that's trapped in the wrong dispensation. Hallelujah. Amen. I know, little buddy, I'm not going to preach too long here tonight. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Hey, no, I'm not embarrassing her. He's just fine. He's not bothering me one bit. Hallelujah. I apologize for that. My wife's going to get on to me now later on. Okay. Hallelujah. I think it's Brother Marty Ballestero. Some of you may know him. He's a funny, crazy preacher. And when somebody walks out during the preaching to use the restroom, whatever, he stops him and says, hey, just a minute. It's going to get better, I promise. Just a minute. Just hang on a minute. I don't always preach this bad. But Isaiah, man, it seemed like Isaiah was just trapped in the wrong age. It seemed like and God knows what He's doing. I'm not questioning God, but man, it seemed like Isaiah should have been there on the day of Pentecost. If anybody should have been in the book of Acts, it was Isaiah the prophet. But right in the middle of this time, this age, so far prior to the New Testament church, God put this special New Testament prophecy on this man named Isaiah, hundreds, thousands of years before the Holy Ghost would come. Hallelujah. And this man would preach and preach and preach and get excited talking about the New Testament church. It seems like he's trapped in the wrong age or era or dispensation. Amen. Hallelujah. I was at Walmart not too long ago with my wife. And maybe this is different tonight. I don't know. Maybe we're just having fun, or maybe we'll get serious. Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen. Help me just ride with me for a minute. Amen. We were pulling up to Walmart, and I don't know about your Walmart, but Independence Walmart, people don't dress up to go to Walmart. People don't dress up to go to Walmart. But you see, back in the 20s and 30s, whenever in those times and different eras, people got all dressed up just like we do for church now. They got dressed up like this just to go to town, just to go get groceries or just to go into downtown. And even with horses and buggies, and they'd get all dressed up. And so my wife, sometimes she'll tell me, man, I wish I could have lived in the 1920s and when everybody was dressed up and walking downtown looking all nice. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But she's got to come to grips. You're not in that era. You got to go to Walmart seeing these kind of people, the people of Walmart. If you don't know what that is, well, I got to be careful here today. Hallelujah. Amen. But Isaiah seemed like he was trapped in the wrong dispensation. But it was in this time, so long before the Holy Ghost came, that Isaiah would preach and prophesy. Isaiah chapter 54, Isaiah prophesies of the New Testament church and how it's going to be a blessed church and a victorious church and a church that goes forward and a church that makes a difference and a church that does exploits and a church that has the blessing of God and the power of God within it. Hallelujah. And I love how Isaiah sums up Isaiah chapter 54, hallelujah, with this promise to us today. He said, no weapon that is formed against the church shall prosper. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like preaching here just for a minute. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell the church of the living God that there's no weapon. I don't care what hell brings. I don't care what technology does. I don't care what the enemy tries. It doesn't matter what comes against the church. It doesn't matter what would come in. It doesn't matter what would oppose. It doesn't matter what would try to stop or block or destroy or hinder. There's no weapon. Come on, there's no weapon formed against God's church that shall prosper. Oh, clap your hands, somebody. Hallelujah. Jesus said, up on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Come on, we're not a part of a dead church. We're not a part of a defeated church. We're not a part of a church that's going down. We're not a part of a church that's backing up. We're not part of a church that's throwing in the towel or compromising. Hallelujah. But we are a victorious church, and there's no weapon formed against us. Well, hallelujah. I believe that on a global, everybody say global, on a global level, I believe the enemy's trying to form a weapon against God's church on a global level. I heard a missionary not too long ago, and he was preaching about how the countries that he would go into and preach to, how that in the 20, 30, 40 years ago, that these people in these far away areas, far out, amen, isolated regions, how they were so behind the times. Amen. They were so out of touch with technology and cutting edge and all these things. Hallelujah. And because of this, because of these people being behind the times, they were so innocent and they were more pure in their minds and they were very humble. Hallelujah. And this elder missionary was talking about how years, decades ago, that you'd go into these countries and just you could just barely preach one simple message and there wouldn't be one dry eye in the house and everybody from these isolated regions were just humble and coming and laying on the floor and weeping. And this elder was preaching about how in the last few years that because of the internet and because of technology that now it is reaching into every isolated area. Amen. Cell phone coverage and internet capabilities are reaching into almost every isolated region now. And so now when you go into some of these areas, hallelujah, and this elder was talking about how it seems like some of the innocence is lost. And it seemed like there's a little more hindrance. And it seemed like there's a little more pride. And people are now feasting on Hollywood. I'm talking about faraway countries. But they're feasting on the entertainment industry. And the music artists, hip-hop artists, and pop artists. And it's a steady diet. They're feeding on things, hallelujah, that are putting seeds of corruption and seeds of immorality and uncleanness into their heart and their spirit. Hallelujah. And this elder talked about how that technology seems to be a weapon that is being formed against the church on a global level. Hallelujah. But I've got a message for the enemy today. Amen. It doesn't matter what weapon you form. The internet. Come on. Corruption. Technology. There is no weapon formed against God's church. Come on, there's no weapon formed against the church that shall prosper. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the enemy brings. I'm telling you, I believe that there's young Filipino men right now that are embracing the call to the ministry. I believe, amen, there's people in China that are being baptized today. Hallelujah. Come on, there's people in Africa. Come on, there's young people in Spain, in Mexico, in Brazil. Come on, there's people that are coming to God. They're being baptized in Jesus' name. They're receiving the Holy Ghost. Come on, we're part of a church that's global. We're part of a church that's moving in the land. We're part of a church that's going forward. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. There's no devil in hell that can shut down this church. Jesus said, go ye into all the world. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe there is revival right now. But I believe we've yet to see the greatest revival, not just in our church, in our state, or our city, our nation, but across the world. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody shout, no weapon. Come on, no weapon. There's no weapon formed against me. Hallelujah. Can I bring it down just a little bit closer to home? I believe the enemy sometimes will do his best to form a weapon against a local church family, a church body. And it seemed like there's this weapon that's formed, and this weapon starts attacking and working. Amen. The enemy tries to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Hallelujah. We don't have time to get into all the different churches in the New Testament, but when you read some of Paul's letters to the different churches, and he's addressing certain things that are coming against a local church family, a local church body, brothers and sisters that God has put together, and they make a body together. Hallelujah. They make a church family together. Amen. And it seemed like it's throughout the New Testament, all of these different churches, that there is a weapon that seems to be formed. Hallelujah. And the weapon that the enemy uses on this church may not be the same weapon that he uses on this church over here. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the enemy is crafty. The devil is sly. He's deceptive, hallelujah. I don't want to be negative here tonight, but I'm telling you, amen, there's churches that have just about been destroyed, and the enemy's come against churches, hallelujah, and tried to bring discord and tried to bring division. Amen. People fighting and people turning on one another, and half of the people on this side of a fight and the other half on this side of the fight. I hope it's okay to preach like this. Amen. I'm just trying to be real with us today. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've heard this story. I think it was Brother Booker that talked about it, that there was a church that was split. And half the people walked out the door, and everybody was fighting and mad. And it was all over the decision whether or not the church should buy this particular brand new vacuum cleaner. You guys heard this? Whether or not the church should buy. There was a really nice new vacuum cleaner, and it would last a long time, but it was a little bit pricey, and it was split down the middle, and it turned into a big fight. And one of the main men that was a ringleader to lead people out and stir up a fuss, and they left the church. Hallelujah. Years and years and years and years down the road, this story came back to light, and I think it was this man's grandson way down the road that he heard the story, and he asked his grandpa, he said, what did the church end up doing with that? And he said, man, I don't even know. He said, did they get the vacuum cleaner or not? He goes, you know, I don't even know if they got it or not. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, am I making sense here today? I'm telling you. Amen. The enemy would love to produce and form and put together a weapon. Hallelujah. To try to fight against, amen, to try to destroy and try to hinder this church right here in Augusta, Kansas. Hallelujah. Oh, I've got a message for hell today. Come on. There's no weapon. There's no... Come on, there may be a weapon that seems to be working. There may be a weapon that seems to have popped up. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I've seen it in my home church, and I've seen seasons and times where all of a sudden there's this new weapon that's popped up. And it seemed like there's a spirit, there's something that's fighting against the church. And it's got people defeated. And some leave, and some go, and some are discouraged. Hallelujah. But the church binds together until that weapon is destroyed. Amen. And then a few months, a year or two down the road, or 5 years, all of a sudden this new weapon pops up. I'm telling you, the enemy knows how to show his ugly head and show his true colors. Hallelujah. And there's a weapon that all of a sudden comes to the surface, and it's coming, and it's working, and it's moving, and it's trying all that can try. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what weapon tries to come against this church, it shall not prosper. Come on, this is God's church. We're God's people. Come on, God's not going to let some weapon kill this church. God's not going to let a weapon destroy this church. God's not going to let a weapon sink this church. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I'm standing in a church that's been around a little while. Oh, yes. I love to go to churches that are brand new. And I've got to preach at a couple churches that were just off the launching pad. And just started from nothing. And that can be exciting, and that's good. But I'm telling you, there's no place I'd rather be than right in the middle of a church that's been around for a while. Yes, sir. It's been through the flood. But the flood couldn't destroy it. Hallelujah. I love being in a church that's been through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn. Come on, a church that's been through the wars, a church that's been through some battles, a church that's got some wounds and some scars, a church that's laid their life on the line, a church that's had setbacks, a church that's been up and it's been down, but it's still the church of the living God. It's still the church triumphant, and we're here today, and the devil can't stop it. The enemy can't destroy it. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to do everything we can to unite our church. We need to do everything we can to unite and bind one another. Amen. Instead of trying to offend somebody or hurt somebody or divide somebody or separate here and divide here and separate there. Come on, somebody. We ought to be doing everything we can. Amen. Come on, we're the church. Hallelujah. Come on, we ought to be doing everything we can to come together and send a message. Come on, we got to send a message to the enemy. There's no weapon formed against us. Come on, we're going to have revival. We're not going to be separated. We're not going to be, come on. We're not going to be. Come on, we're not going to turn on each other. We're not going to fight each other. We're going to stand beside one another. And we're going to join forces. Hallelujah. And we're going to be the church. Triumphant. Woo. Hallelujah. If there's anything the enemy would like to do, he would like to put, amen, animosities and offenses in the church. I heard a preacher, a pastor, not too long ago. He's pastored a long, long time. And he preached this message. His message was called, Don't Help the Devil. Amen. I thought that was awesome. That was his title. Don't Help the Devil. And what he was saying was that any time that you're not kind or friendly to one of your brothers, he was preaching about how the devil wants to destroy the church family and the body. And he said, any time that you're not kind and loving to somebody, any time that you tear somebody down in your church, any time you try to separate or divide, or amen, or sow discord, he said, when you do that, you're helping the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't you tell somebody beside you, don't help the devil. Amen. I'll tell you how you don't help the devil. You love your brother with all your heart. I'll tell you how you don't help the devil. You love your sister. You show kindness and love. Come on. You pull for them. You support them. You pray for them. You love them. You unite together. Come on. We're the church. We're the church. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Well, this is different tonight. Amen. I'm almost done. I want to bring it just a little bit closer to home, all right? The enemy can form a weapon against the church globally. He can form a weapon against a local church body. But I want to bring it a little bit closer here. The enemy can custom make a weapon and form a weapon just for you on an individual level. The enemy can form a weapon custom made just for me on an individual level. Amen. Isaiah said it in a way, amen, that it was singular. No weapon that is formed against thee. That could be plural or singular. If I've got my English right, Brother Charlie will correct me after church. Hallelujah. Amen. No weapon that is formed against you or thee. Singular. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody believe that today? Amen. It was the Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the one that during communion time, when he's sitting there with Jesus and they're drinking the blood and they're eating the bread, the fruit of the vine, and they're eating of Jesus' body, the bread. And it was at communion time that Jesus looked at Simon Peter and he said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith would fail not. And I've thought about that. You talk about a serious setting, communion. That's a spiritual, a heavy time. And Jesus looks at Simon and says this, Satan's watching you. He wants to have you. He wants to destroy you. And I think it's so fitting that Simon Peter would be the one years down the road or months, whatever time down the road, Simon Peter would be the one to write to us and say, be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, amen, the devil goeth about, he walketh about as a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. Amen. A lion studies his prey. A lion is looking for weaknesses and tendencies. Amen. A lion is watching the flocks and the herds. And he's looking for that baby zebra or a baby wildebeest or an animal that's got an injury and that's hurting and can't run as fast. Amen. The lion studies its prey. I'm telling you, we have an adversary that knows our weaknesses today. He knows my tendencies. He knows my weaknesses. And He's watching us. Amen. The devil is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're 8 years old or 16 years old or 30 years old or 60 years old. He doesn't care. Amen. If it's a preacher, a missionary, a song leader, a musician, come on, a worshiper, a saint. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Satan desires to have you. Amen. Watching our tendencies, watching our weaknesses. And it seems like Satan, the adversary, knows how to form a perfect weapon that's custom made. And it's just for you. I know your weaknesses. I know your tendencies. I know, amen, the habits and the repetitions. Hallelujah. And I'm forming this weapon that's just for you. Amen. And the weapon that Satan forms for you is not what he will form for me. And the weapon he forms for me, he may not form for you. Hallelujah. Amen. But Satan, our adversary, is forming a weapon. Custom made. Somebody say custom made. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm not super knowledgeable and intelligent with military weaponry and all of these things, but I was reading an article not too long ago, and they were talking about all of the customized weapons and artillery that our government has. Amen. If they need a missile or something to penetrate through 10 feet of concrete and then blow up, they can make it. If they need something to just blow up Walmart, man, we're picking on Walmart here today. Oh, we got to pick on Walmart. But I'm telling you, they can make a weapon that would just turn Walmart into rubble. But right next door, everything else would look perfect and untouched and unscathed. I'm telling you, we have an adversary that knows how to customize weapons. Hallelujah. To take people out. He's studying us. He's watching us. And he knows what weapon to form. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I don't want to fall prey to some cunningly devised weapon from hell. How about you? I don't want the enemy to destroy me. Amen. I don't want the enemy. I don't want Satan to take me out. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. Amen. There's a scripture. I'm almost done. Don't get worried on me. I don't know if I've told this before. I was preaching back in Tennessee a couple years ago. There's a little cowboy in the back. I lost track of time, and I asked the question publicly, man, what time did I start? And that can get interesting when you ask questions publicly. And this little old cowboy shouted out, a long time ago. And, man, I laughed. I thought it was funny. Later on, I found out other people in the church got upset and they were offended, but I thought it was the greatest thing I ever heard. I looked back at him and I said, you're the only honest person in this room. Everybody else wants to say what you just said right now. So if somebody shouts out a long time ago, I'll know it's time to quit. Hallelujah. But there's a scripture in the New Testament. Let me go there real quick. Hallelujah. This scripture, Hebrews 12:1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Everybody say the sin. Everybody say singular. He didn't say the sins, but let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's amazing to me that in this world of complex sins, we're living in a crazy complex world. We could sit here and start naming all the sins that would come to our mind, and we'd be here all night. It's such a complex world with so many complex types of sins and evil. Hallelujah. But it's amazing to me that a lot of times our struggles, the way the enemy trips us up, a lot of times it's the same thing. Can I get a witness? It's not a plethora. It's not 100 things or 500 things. But a lot of times, it's that one thing. It's the sin which does so easily beset us. I'll tell you what that is. That's a weapon from the enemy that has been formed against us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. It's a scary thing. It's a dangerous thing when there's a sin that does so easily beset us. Amen. We at least ought to make it a challenge on the enemy. The scripture said, don't give place to the devil. At least make it a challenge for him. But sometimes there's that weapon. There's that customized weapon. And so easily, everybody say so easily. All it takes is just being alone for a couple hours and having something at our disposal. All it happens, it doesn't take the stars and everything. Amen. There's some sins and there's things that people have fallen into that it took so many things aligning just right and coming together, the perfect storm. But when you've got a customized weapon against you, it doesn't take all these things coming together. All it takes is just one little moment, one little opportunity, and it's so easily, hallelujah. It's reoccurring, it's repetitive, hallelujah, so easily. Amen, it's over and over and over again, hallelujah. I want to encourage somebody here today. I want to preach to somebody. Maybe there's a weapon that's formed against you, and it seems like it so easily gets you down. So easily. Amen. I've been there. Hallelujah. So easily. I've been in times where it seemed like the weapon of depression or oppression. So easily. Amen. Took me down so easily. Hallelujah. But you've got to stand up in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You've got to lay hold to the promise of Isaiah. Amen. That there's no weapon that's formed against me that shall prosper. There's no weapon. Come on, it may work for a minute. It may work for a season, but it will not prosper against me. It's not going to destroy me. Hallelujah. When you study that definition of shall not prosper, what that means is that weapon may have sustained success for a season. I feel like having a praise break. Amen. It may have sustained success for a season. It may knock you down for a week or 3 months or 6 months. But if you just keep on getting back up on your feet, hallelujah, and stay in the fight, hallelujah. Amen. The promise to God's people is that weapon may have sustained success for a season, but it will not prosper. And there will come a day when the hand of God destroys that weapon. Come on, somebody. God will destroy that. He'll take it out of your world. He'll take it out of your life. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, God. I know what it is to be knocked down again and again and again from the same weapon. But I also know what it is, amen, when God destroys that thing and that weapon's over with. Come on, it's behind me. It's under my feet now. Anybody been there before? Hallelujah. You got to be like the just man that just kept getting back up. He fell 7 times. Hallelujah. He was a just man. He wasn't an evil man. He wasn't a carnal man. He was a just man. The just man woke up in the morning and his heart's desire was, I want to do right today. I want to live for God. I want to do right. But somewhere in his journey through the day, amen, a moment of weakness or a weapon, something trips him and he falls. Hallelujah. But he gets back up. He says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. Anybody know that verse? When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. And the just man gets back up on his feet. And he gets restoration with God. And he's feeling good. And he goes to bed the next night. Or maybe it was 3 days or 6 days, somewhere down the road. The just man starts his day. And he's a good man. He wants to do right. But he falls again. Amen. The second time he gets back up. He fell the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, the seventh time. But does the Bible say that the just man fell 8 times? No. Does it say he fell 500 times? What does it say? Seven. He fell. Thank you, buddy. He fell 7 times. Oh, hallelujah. You know what I believe? I believe when he got back up on his feet after that 7th time, I believe there was a deliverance from God that was different than he had ever experienced before. Come on. Come on, I'm telling you, you got to stay in the fight. There's no weapon that, amen, that's formed against you that shall prosper. Hallelujah. I've got a message for the enemy tonight. You may form a weapon that trips me up. You may form a weapon that knocks me down. But it's not going to last, and it's not going to prosper, and it's not going to take me to hell. I'm going to rise up against that, and I'm going to conquer that thing. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to conquer it. I'm going to get victory over it. I'm going to put it under my feet. Come on. My God shall deliver me. Come on, God will deliver the godly out of temptations. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh God! Amen. If Sister Reed would come to the music. Amen. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand here tonight? Oh God. Why don't we thank Him for His mercy here tonight? Come on, God's been merciful to us. God's been good to us. God's been kind to us. God's helped us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh God, I don't want some cunningly devised weapon of hell to destroy my life. Oh, I don't want the enemy to cause me to make shipwreck. I don't want the enemy to destroy my walk with God. Oh God, help me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, amen, you've got to conquer the sin which does so easily beset you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Oh, God. I was thinking today just for a little bit about different individuals in the Scripture that had a weapon formed against them. The perfect weapon. Amen. That these individuals just could not conquer this weapon. They could not find victory over this weapon. And because of it, they made shipwreck. And their life ended away from God in tragedy. I was thinking of Cain. The Bible says that he was wroth with Abel. He was so consumed with anger and bitterness towards Abel. Hallelujah. It was a weapon that was coming against him. Hallelujah. And he just could not conquer this weapon. He just could not find a way to get through and around and overcome this thing. Hallelujah. And this weapon, I'm telling you, it took him out. It destroyed his life. I know God was merciful to him and would not suffer him to be killed by the hands of men. Hallelujah. But there was judgment on his life. Hallelujah. I was thinking about King Saul. And there's so many characters. I'm not going to get into all of them. Don't get nervous on me. But King Saul, amen, his jealousy, his dislike for David was the perfect weapon that came into his world. I'm telling you, the enemy can blindside us. We can be coasting through life, and all of a sudden, this new weapon just, where'd this thing come from? All of a of a sudden there's something that's attacking you and your spirit and binding and messing with you. Hallelujah. Anybody been there? Amen. I'm just preaching to me, maybe. But I'm telling you, King Saul was just doing pretty good, you know. He was doing all right until those ladies started dancing and singing. Saul has slain his thousands, David has tens thousands. And all of a sudden, there's this new weapon that's custom made that's taking him down. It's messing with his spirit. It's bringing bitterness and ugliness and hatred. Amen. Saul wasn't wrestling with it yesterday and the day before and last week and last month and last year, but this weapon is just coming to his world. Amen. And Saul would not pray through. He would not crucify his flesh. Amen. His dislike for David, his hatred for David, his jealousy. He would not conquer that weapon. And I'm telling you, that's the weapon that took him out. Amen. We could talk about his pride. I know he had pride and he wouldn't listen to Samuel the prophet. But I believe his jealousy for David was that weapon that just destroyed his spirit and his life. Oh, God. Man, I could preach about offenses here for a while. I'm not going to do it. You're standing. I'm sorry. But I'm telling you, man, I'm not going to get into the details, but we've all got our stories. But there was somebody that I felt like did me wrong and did me really, really, really dirty just in the last couple years. And it made me so mad, Brother Reed. It made me so mad. I'm just being honest with you. It made me so mad. Man, I was doing all right in life. I'm a pretty nice guy. Just ask my wife. I was doing all right. Just happy to eat a cheeseburger and fries and listen to Adventures in Odyssey with my little girls and play basketball. Man, I'm just having fun. Life's all right. Until this new weapon comes. Amen. Somebody that did something. And this thing's attacking me and trying to destroy my spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And I wish I could tell you I was perfect and had the right attitude through it all. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that I hit the altar and I laid on my face. And I prayed until I got to the place that I could see that individual. And I could go up to him and smile and say, "Hey, brother, how you doing? It's good to see you." Yes, sir. Amen. Am I making sense here today? You never know what kind of weapon could come into your world tonight. You could be on a computer tonight and some new weapon, some new idea, some new world, some new chat room. And amen. Man, there's a preaching spirit here today. Hallelujah. You never know what the enemy's going to bring in your world. You never know who you could come in contact with tonight. An opportunity, an open door, something. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm preaching to you. Stand fast. Walk with God. And hold on to the word of Isaiah. Amen. The enemy's going to bring weapons. I'm preaching to you. The enemy's going to bring weapons against you. He'll try the weapon of pornography. And if that weapon don't work, he'll try the weapon of bitterness. And if the weapon of bitterness don't work, he'll try the weapon of some new friendship that'll take you astray. And if that don't work, he'll try a new relationship. He'll try this. He'll try everything. Oh, but we got to hold on to this. Woo, I feel like jumping up on a pew. There is no weapon. Come on, devil, try what you want to try. Come on, bring the weapon of offense. Bring the weapon of temptation. Bring the weapon of a wounded spirit. Try everything you want to try. There's no weapon. There's no weapon in and out of earth or heaven or hell. There is no weapon that's formed against me that shall prosper. Come on, somebody ought to praise him right now. Come on, somebody ought to praise him right now. Come on, raise your hands. Come on, let's get a hold of God. Come on, there's no weapon. No weapon, no weapon. Oh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to have a right heart and a right spirit. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to serve God. Woo! Come on, why don't we gather into the front as a church family today? Come on, why don't we come and let the enemy know there's no weapon, no weapon. Come on, our church is going to have revival. Come on, somebody. We're going to see this sanctuary filled to capacity. We're going to see this building filled up. We're going to see revival. The enemy can't stop us. Hell can't stop us. The devil can't stop us.